ago, this became a series, which I didn't plan on, but it's been kind of fun. I hope you have fun with it. So I just want to say, before I get ridiculous later on this message, God is good, and we, all the time, God is good. And we take him very seriously here. We know he has been anointed with the oil of joy over all of his peers. And so at church, you can have fun too. But in the fun, we take it very seriously. And I know there's challenging times, difficult things. So I don't want to minimize that. But I know God is on the throne. He's in charge. And he only does wondrous things. He cares deeply. So we've been in the series. We've looked at the dark side of nature. So as demonstrated there. So the dark side of the animal world. Then we looked at the dark side, part two. It was the dark side of the climate world. Next one, and how you see him hiding in the clouds there. And today I want to take it home to us personally and look at the dark side of us. The dark side of us. Okay, as the old Walt Kelly quote goes, we have met the enemy, and the enemy, and he is us. We all have a dark side. Some believe, and I used to believe, that mankind was basically good, but God says otherwise. I found out that God has a different perspective than that. I thought, well, everyone's pretty good, and they learn how to be bad, or they had bad parents, or whatever excuse, bad circumstances. But the reality is, we all have a dark side living within us. And the Apostle Paul included himself in that category of him struggling with his own dark side. I'm going to read out of Romans 7, 18 through 21. So just read with me. It says, I know that nothing good lives in me. This is the Apostle Paul. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. So let's pray. Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here and for your ability to give us revelation and insight to what you want us to understand, what you want to speak to us here and now. And I pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, and just a sense that it's you who wants to speak, not me. You want to speak much better than I ever could. Lord, thank you for caring about each of us, and I pray that you would help us to receive all that you have for us, and that we would be encouraged by your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we all like to blame the devil. We like to blame circumstances, or a certain political party, or whatever it might be. But often the bad guy is the one that we see in the mirror every morning. It really is the issue first, is that we just have a propensity towards sin. It's just there. And the huge danger is thinking that man is basically good. It's a real trap that if we get believing that, if that's true, then we don't need Jesus. If that's true, then we don't need the church. We don't need the Bible. If it's true that if we've done more good than bad and we can get to heaven based on our performance, then that's exactly what the devil wants us to think. Because then we don't really care about Jesus. We don't care about the Bible. We don't care about the body of Christ. We don't care about church. We don't care about what is truth. We make it up. We make up our own truth. And we decide as we go what's right and wrong. And that is death. That's death. And as hard as it is, we need to know that we have a problem. And the problem is we have a dark side. And just admitting that, just to admit that, though, that not just your spouse has a dark side, or not just your boss has a dark side, or not just your neighbor has a dark side, or not just your whoever, it's like you have a dark side. And when you understand that and can, in a healthy way, admit that, you'll have a lot more grace for others who have that going on in their hearts as well. It's called grace for one another, forgiveness for one another, patience for one another, as you would want it brought to you. I want to read in Romans 3, 10, starting in 10, it says, this is God's perspective on the state of mankind. We need to get this driven home. So it says, as the scriptures say, no one is good. This is Paul writing to the Romans. Not even one. No one is good, not even one. No one has real understanding. No one is seeking God. All have turned away from God. All have gone wrong. No one does good, not even one. Their talk is foul, like the stench of an open grave. Their speech is filled with lies. The poison of a deadly snake drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They are quick to commit murder. Wherever they go, destruction and misery follow them. They do not know what true peace is. They have no fear of God to restrain them. It's like, man, how pessimistic can you get? It's talking about you. And wait, I know a lot of wonderful people that don't claim to be Christian. Even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? But I do know a lot of wonderful people. But the issue isn't that no one has any good in them. The issue is everyone has some evil in them. And there's a lot of people that do good things, but everyone has some evil lurking, residing, always wanting to come to the forefront. That's the default way that we go, is the dark side. So, because it says, for all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard, and that the problem with that is eternal. The consequences to that are eternal consequences. We sin against an eternal God, the consequences are eternal punishment. The Bible calls it perishing. Now, in that passage I just read, Paul used a compilation of seven different passages. You can put it up there. That's just the idea of mankind is sinful by nature is not a one-verse doctrine. Yeah. It's all over, and this is just a few of them in just that passage. You can read it over and over and over, how God defines, if you were living on Mars as an alien and looking down on Earth, what would you say it would verify this? Wars, fighting, riots, all kinds of things going on. If you look at mankind as a whole, you would say, that's a pretty bunch of messed up, angry people. And yes, we do some nice things, and yes, there's some good people that do good things, but we all have sin. We all have that nature in us. And I don't say this to condemn anyone, but you need to understand your desperate dilemma before you can appreciate the answer and the one that can deliver us from it. There's only one. And by the way, there aren't many ways, there aren't many roads, there aren't many gods, or one God and many roads to the one God, or the gods with different names, it's all the same. It's like, no, there is one, there is only one God, only one way, one person who saves, one mediator between God and man. I don't care what part of the globe you were born in, east or west, north or south, it's not just Western religion. There is one God. one way to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father, no one comes to the Father's home, heaven, no one gets there except through Jesus. That's it. And that the good news of great joy is that the Savior has come. The Savior, God with us, Emmanuel, God sent His Son to be the Savior for all who believe. So we're forgiven and free. We have a new nature. We've been given a new nature. Okay? We have a new identity. We're born anew if you believe. But the Apostle Paul wrote this struggle that he had and wrote these words, the struggle with his own dark side, the sin that he doesn't want to do, he does, or the good that he wants to do, he doesn't do that. And he wrote that after he was born of the Spirit. He wrote that after he was given a new nature, after he saw the light and God spoke to him and he turned over his life and surrendered. And he knew he had an evil nature still alive in him. Paul said there's nothing good in his sinful nature. In Christ, we're given a new nature. We're made alive. We're made a new creation. But the old is still right there with us. Can anyone relate to that? I can relate to that. Before we were dead in sin, even though when we were dead in sin, we did some nice things, but never enough for salvation. You could never do enough good. You could never do enough right. You could never do enough helpful things. You could never help enough people to earn your way into heaven. It's only through what we recognize today, this morning, is the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow, that cleans us, that forgives us. So these are, I'm sure you know this concept by now, but we have this new nature, but the old nature is still there. The good news is now we have a choice. Before, we didn't have a choice. We were sinners, and we just lived out our nature. Now we have a choice. I wish it was, flip a switch and we can only do right, but it's not that way. Now that we've come from darkness into the light, how do we overcome that dark side in us that still wants to rule over us? I mean, are you occasionally shocked by your thoughts? Okay, occasionally shocked by what comes out of your mouth? It's like, God, that was just mean. But doggone it, I'm the pastor, and I still get regretful of my thoughts and my behavior and my words at times. So how do you overcome those? How do you win the victory over those? I want to look at Romans 7. The book of Romans is fascinating. I'm just going to continue to go on in this passage, 7:24, Paul's writing, what a wretched man I am. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote a third of the New Testament. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to say, not through Jesus Christ our Savior, through Jesus Christ our, say it out loud, Lord. What is Lord? I think there's a main key point right there. Jesus as Savior brings you out of darkness into His light. But Jesus as Lord helps you walk in the light. Teaches you how to walk in the light. There's a difference between Jesus the Savior. I was talking to my wife about this, and she brought up the idea of the Israelites were delivered by God out of Egypt. They were delivered from slavery, from bondage, but almost none of them walked successfully in that freedom. Why? Because they didn't position themselves under the lordship of God. He was never their Lord. They bickered and fought and they fought and they fought against his will. And as a result, they died in the wilderness, never making it into the place, the promised land that God intended. Because it's never just about getting out of sin. Stop sinning. That's not the issue. That's not the only issue. That's part of the issue. That's the beginning, but that's not the goal. The goal is not to have you be this neutral humanoid just not drinking too much alcohol or doing drugs. That's not the goal. There's no trophy for that in God's eyes. The trophy is he's looking for, do you know me? He's looking for a relationship. He's looking for, we'll keep going here. So, in other words, faith in what Jesus did will save you. You can get saved. It gives you the right to become a child of God, but to do well in the new life, Jesus has to be the boss. He has to be the director of your life. Can you be saved and not under his lordship? I can just say that I've never seen that go well. I've never seen that end well. In some, the story's not over, but I see that there's a lot of trouble with that mindset. I got saved. I believe Jesus. Are you under his lordship? I don't need that. That's radical. That's extreme. It's like, no, lordship. So if you want to conquer your dark side, here's a couple of, just two non-negotiables. One, it's about lordship. I submit to God. I submit to God. And, a familiar scripture is resist the devil and he will flee. But the first part of that is submit to God, then resist the devil and he will flee. So I'm going to read, continue in Romans 8, verse 6, starting in 6. It says, the mind of sinful man, or the mind governed by the sinful nature is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Say life and peace. Life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Remember, this is written by the Apostle Paul, who just confessed that he has his own battle with the dark side. And then he goes on to say, and I'm not going to read it all. It's a lot to read, but there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. I'm not condemning anyone. Paul doesn't condemn anyone of those who are in Christ. So he's not against, but he's showing us how to win. He says, submit to God by getting our minds on pleasing him. Yeah. On pleasing him, not ourselves. Get our minds off ourselves. Get them on what he cares about. And with that comes life and peace. And this is what repentance is. Repentance is lordship. Through water baptism, our flesh is crucified. And it says crucified with its passions and desires. It's crucified. And it comes under the lordship of Christ. We rise to newness of life. And by the way, if you've not been water baptized, you need to see me. I'm not going to come hound on anyone. I'm just going to keep inviting you. Come and see me. We'll make a time to get water baptized. It's a significant thing. And it's just like communion is, water baptism is. It says you're serious about living under the lordship of Christ. So this is what repentance is. This is what water baptism signifies. And we can get a mindset that if God's in charge, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to lose. I'm never, say goodbye to fun. Bye-bye, fun. Bye-bye, pleasure. We think, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I have to do this, and I can't have that. But let's read what Paul says. And continue. It says, verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And I'm going to skip to verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Paul's not talking about eternal life. He's talking about, what is a mortal body? That's a body right now. That's what, talking about a mortal body. He will give life to your mortal body. Your mortal body under the lordship of Christ will go, woohoo! Something like that. This is not on video. So don't worry. It's not on video. Life for your mortal body under Christ is a good thing. It's not a doing without. It's not a miserable existence. I honestly thought before I came to Christ, like, wow, those are a bunch of miserable people that read the Bible all day and have no fun. Like, I'm having fun. Having fun wrecking my life and full of regret before I came to Christ. But I found out God's idea of life is a lot better than my idea of life. And God's idea of peace was a completely different definition than my idea of peace. And anything you can come up with is far nothing like what God has in mind. God cares and he provides for us spirit, eternal, soul, being renewed, and body. And body. Body, spirit, and soul. And he cares about every part of it. Paul said, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus our Lord. We conquer the dark side through God's lordship. And there's no shortcut. I just want to, sometimes I go through points. I just want to meditate a little bit. Let's meditate for 10 seconds. Jesus' lordship is good. It is good to surrender to God. It is a good thing to surrender to his rule, his sovereign rule over our lives. To say, I'm done with that thing, I'm done with that. Lord, you take over. And it will be pleasurable, it'll be rich, it'll be wonderful. And then the second point, and just the last point I want to make, about it's about position. Number two, position. I'm a child of God. And this is a really simple. I'm a child of God. Remember who you are. Remember your position in Christ. That's why it's called being born again. You become a child of God when you put your faith in Christ. You have brand new life, brand new identity. To those who believe and receive, they were given the right to become a child of God. And you can struggle as a friend of God. You can struggle as a witness for God. You can struggle as a laborer in his harvest fields. But when you remember that you're his child, that's a different security. Because you didn't do anything to become a child. That was none of your doing. I mean, obviously, we put our faith in Christ. That's what gives us the right to become a child. But then, it doesn't matter what my kids did. Even, I got two of them in the room. I'd discipline them. They'd go without. But it was never a... And I know there's bad examples in the world today, but God is nothing like the bad examples of parents that we have in the world today. There is no rejecting. God never, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Yeah. Humans forsake their children, but God will never. And isn't that just like the devil to get that to be normal, that humans forsake their own? So it used to be an easier example to illustrate, but even the scripture says, can a mother reject her infant? Would she not nurse her infant? God will never stop his love for you as his child. He'll work with you on how to be a better witness. He'll work with you on how to be a better harvester in his fields. He'll work with you how to be a better citizen of heaven. That's a progressive thing that the Holy Spirit will work with us to, in an ever-increasing measure as he works in sanctifying our lives. But your position as a child is secure, stable. It's either on or off. It's not kind of, sort of. It's you are or you're not. And when you are, it's established. It's never about our performance. Even in whatever level, it's never based on our performance that keeps us secure in Christ. It's never about how well you're doing or how well you've done. You never cash in on that. That's never the issue. Our life and peace in the struggle only comes from how well Jesus did. What he did, how he finished that. And our faith in what he did gives us the right to become his child. And of course, we need to turn away from anything God calls sin. Otherwise, James says our faith is dead. If we don't struggle, even the struggle is a good thing. When you're battling with something, that right there is a good indicator that you're serious about your walk with God, that you're not okay with whatever the issue is. And God's saying, way to go. Keep the fight going. Keep the struggle going. Keep battling that dark side. So back to Romans 13, 8, 13, and 14 says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Amen. And that is what we are. And that's what we need to remind ourselves of when that dark side is putting on the pressure. Yes, we fail, but we keep fighting. Yes, we struggle, but we keep fighting in the struggle. We don't lower the bar to endure it or to handle it. Keep that bar high. Confess it as sin. Confess it as sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and make God out to be a liar. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He's faithful. He'll never leave and never forsake. He's not surprised by your sin. He'll never say, whoa, never saw that before. Wow, there's a new sin. Oh, you're really bad. I never saw that one. God's seen billions of people come and go. There's nothing new that we could ever do that he has not already seen. And he has grace for us. And he still has forgiveness on his children. And he helps them. And it says he's faithful and just. Think of a court of law, as a just lawyer, as a just judge. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Not because of our great goodness and whatever, but because of Jesus. Death and burial and resurrection, his shed blood that washes us of sins past, present, and future. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we say, keep the fight going. Confess it as sin. Walk in the light as his child who loves us as our father. What you need to do is look your dark side in the mirror, put that up there and say, Darth. Say, Darth, you're not my father. God is my father. Say, Darth, or say, Lord Vader, you are not my Lord. Jesus is Lord. Forever. Tell him off, see? See, he's not so tough. You get him shaking in his boots. Just... confess it. Tell him. Okay. I want to close with this story. And it's funny how you remember these things at certain times when you're preparing a message. But as a kid, we used to grow up in the suburbs of Chicago. And the We played ball a lot. I mean, there's no video games, obviously, back in the early, about 70. 1970, 72 maybe. I was probably 10 or 12, somewhere in there. Probably 12. And we'd play softball in our street, which, because we didn't have a field nearby. And so there'd be the curb. It's just a regular, like a neighborhood street, like Faribault has. So home plate would be right in the middle of the street, right in the center of the two lanes. Home plate was right in the middle. Second base was in the middle. First base was on the curb, and third base was on a curb. And that's how we played. And it'd be a neighborhood just like this. Imagine kids playing ball in the street like that. And we were little enough where we couldn't hit the ball far enough to break any windows because the houses were right there, and it wasn't a big neighborhood. They weren't far away from the street. So we're playing ball, and I don't remember what the exact offense was, but I got offended by one of my brothers. I had four brothers and neighbor buddies, and there's a lot of us playing ball. And I was mad at something or other. And I'm around third base, so I'm off on the grass by the third base, and I'm literally pouting. I'm pouting. I got my arms crossed. I'm in no position to be ready for a ball to come because I'm in power pout. I just remember that. I'm going to show them that they are wrong and I'm right. And I'm just standing there like this in the field, and you know, there's a guy up to bat, and he cracks a line drive right at me. You know where the ball went? Right here. Goonk. I caught it right there. I did not have a time to move a muscle except open my glove. Boom. And then it was like, place went crazy. Wow, and then throw it, and he's out, you know. And I remember having that stinking attitude, you know, the black cloud kind of, you know, Charlie Brown cloud. I was just mad. And it came right to me, which totally changed. And my point is, you can have a lousy attitude. You can be in a lousy way. You can be doing poorly. But if you position yourself, because I was in the perfect position, to go, kunk, got it. Perfectly positioned for good things. And if you remember that you are a child of God, and you position yourself under His Lordship, you position yourself not as what a great person you are, what a great, God needs me because I'm going to rock this kingdom for Him. And it's like, no, you're His kid. And it's all about His glory, not yours. If you position yourself, good things will happen. You can count on, you can expect good things to happen. And you can expect there to be challenges to that. That man in the mirror, that woman in the mirror, will continue to challenge. But remember who you are. Remember that you are saved not by your good works, not by your good wisdom, not by that you stopped doing this or you started doing that, or how much you help people. You are only right and made a child because of your faith in Christ crucified and His goodness. The dark side will always be there, but as you honor God as Lord and remember your position, more and more you'll walk in the victory. Let's stand up and let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the price that you paid and the way that you made for us, God. Lord, thank you for your help with us in our attitudes and the ways that we fail, the ways that we struggle, and that nature that's still alive in us. Thank you for your lordship over us. And I just want to pray and have you just let it be your prayer. Lord, we rededicate ourselves to you. I rededicate myself to you under your lordship. And I say, God, have your way. Your way over me is so much better than what I could ever dream up, the best of what I could think up. Lord, we trust you as Lord. God, help us to turn from evil, turn from sin, to continue the battle, continue to struggle, to know and identify what you call sin and turn from it. Lord, thank you that your strength is enough. Your arm is strong enough to save and deliver. And Lord, thank you that it's your finished work, what you accomplished, that gives us the right to become a child of yours. And there may be someone in this room that's never asked Jesus to save them. And I want to give you that opportunity to say, God, save me. Because of your mercy and your grace, I give you my life. I surrender to you. And I ask that you would show yourself to me and help me to know you as Savior and as Lord. And it's so important that that's your prayer, that you would tell somebody significant in your life, because you need help, because that prayer will make God very happy and make the devil very mad. And it will be a struggle. But in that struggle, you will see that God is real and he is able to deliver. So tell somebody, Father, just thank you for your goodness, that we stand secure not by righteous things we've done, but by what you've done for us. Help us to remember that, God, and not be surprised at that dark nature that lives in us. Thank you that you're not surprised by it, and you love us through it, in the midst of it, and you love us enough to deliver us out of it. We just pray you'd bless this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, guys.